what we have is we have unique data sets. Because we have the unique data sets with the face, you now have a series of disease progression, regression, or stabilization.
Yeah.
And you know predictively which cocktails can service which populations the best.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how to use AI to ensure that patients safely take their medication. 125,000 deaths per year in the US and a third of all hospital admissions are due to patients not taking their drugs. And that's the tip of the iceberg, because medication errors, not just not taking it, but actually taking the wrong dose, can actually also have very dire consequences. And preventable medication errors impact more than 7 million patients a year and cost almost $21 billion annually across all care settings in the US. About 30% of hospitalized patients have at least one discrepancy on discharge medication reconciliation. And medication errors and adverse events are an underreported burden that adversely affects patients, providers, and the economy. However, we have a solution. Today, I'm with Charles Gellman, who is the founder and CEO of Hydo Health, a company whose mission is to help patients ensure that they take the correct medicines at the correct time in the correct dose. And all of this is assisted with AI. So good to have you on the show, Charles.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this.
Me too. I'm really excited to get into it. So before we get into it, though, can you tell me a bit about your background and how you got into this and how you came to found Hydo Health?
That's a great question. So as many founders experience, it was not by design. I essentially fell into this. I had a medical error happen to me personally, where I was misdiagnosed with a kidney stone, and it was actually ruptured appendicitis. So oh, wow. My experience was a few weeks in the hospital recovering in my early 20s, and I was very naive to healthcare delivery, communications, how to care for myself, and the recovery process. So that was my big pivot within my career as well as my personal life to focus all my time and energy on healthcare because of my experiences. And then as I entered that rabbit hole, I started to uncover all of the different areas of potential improvement. So my background's in data science. I can go into a little bit more of, you know, the ins and outs of why and where and what we've stumbled upon. But that's just kind of the brief layout.
It's very interesting. So many people that I interview that have started really amazing companies that actually help people have started it because they've had that kind of some experience in their family or friends that's actually caused them to do it. So it's very mission-led in a way, which is nice. So what about your device that actually does this? Could you tell me about the Hydo Health offering?
Yeah, so Hydo stands for Health Information Data Outcomes. It also means covered in Japanese. What the Hydo device does is it automates the entire experience and eases the burden on the patient. But what we were trying to figure out is why people are having difficulty and challenges with these complex regimens at home. And we quickly realized that within the confines of the hospital or the clinic, you're within a sterile environment. So you have physicians, nurses, pharmacists, you have a lot of support. But the second you leave, you're on your own. And that's when the system starts to fall apart and break apart, because some people can do well managing their own health and they, you know, they have the right nutrition, they have exercise, they're able to take their meds. But other people, you know, 90% plus have those challenges because they have family issues, they have work, they have other items that are going on in the background that, you know, make things much more challenging for them to actually take the medications as intended.
And also, if you think about the elderly, you know, they have so many medications that they are juggling. And, you know, I just think this sort of thing would be so helpful where, you know, every day they might have, you know, 5 to 10 tablets that they've got to take for high blood pressure, for this, for that. So I think that would be incredibly helpful. What about clinical studies? Have you actually done any clinical studies on the improvement in medication with people using your device?
So we would love to enter the drug discovery and clinical study and marketplace with a pharmaceutical or CRO organizations. We haven't yet.
Yeah.
What we have done is we validated with a Medicare Advantage plan in Northern California the reduction of hospitalizations by 80% and the cost savings of 67% for heart failure patients. So we know before the Hydro device, before intervention, it's a black box. Nobody knows exactly what's going on. But with this device, you now know and you can monitor dose by dose with a validated recording exactly what's happening, what people are putting into their bodies. So from a clinical study perspective or drug development, imagine if you had 100% data integrity so you could measure efficacy and safety versus being patient dependent, having them write down in a diary.
Absolutely. I mean, you just don't know in clinical trials how much is accurate of, you know, have they actually even been taking? Because we know with most drugs, after 3 months, between 40 to 60% of people stop taking their drug. And so you could imagine that kind of thing's happening in clinical trials as well, and no one knows, and it's skewing the data.
Mm-hmm. So, in addition to that, within a clinical study, you have to think about it. The majority of your patients are taking other drugs. So now you have a multitude of different variables that are compounding the actual efficacy and safety of those particular molecules, because there could be contraindicated medications. But if you're not there in the home, you just don't know.
Yeah. And so what kind of benefits do the patients get? I mean, it's clear to me they they get the right medicine at the right time, in the right dose. So what kinds of things have you seen of people, the difference it's made for people?
So what's interesting with this application with the Hydro device is because we automate medications with a RFID chip within the cap. So that does medication dosage frequency and pill count. But the benefit to the patient, with especially with heart failure patients, you have a thing called heart remodeling. So you can actually improve the function of the heart if you take your medications according to how they're prescribed. So the benefits to the patients is they actually can do better. And when you take the medications as intended, you can actually start removing medications potentially. And that's very exciting, because do people really need to be taking 15, 20, 25 different medications? You know, if they're not taking them according to the protocol, what happens is you start titrating up, raising the dosages for those people because they aren't adherent. And if they are, you can actually start backing things out.
Yeah.
Which is very, very exciting for a lot of folks.
Wow. And I mean, the healthcare systems, I mean, $21 billion a year spent on across the care settings on medication error, that's huge. If you can impact that even a little bit, it's huge cost savings, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you just think in the United States alone, there's 6 billion prescriptions a year. So just really observe that. 6 billion prescriptions for 300 plus million folks, and not everyone's on medications. So, you know, that means the majority of folks, and I'm not just talking about the elderly, but anybody who's got a chronic care disease, which there's obesity, there's cardiovascular disease, there's diabetes, you're talking about 20 to 30% of the population is on 4, 5, 6 medications on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's crazy. And so how do you employ AI in the product?
Mm-hmm. So what we have is we have unique data sets. We know people's behaviors. So when you walk up to the unit, we use Face ID to unlock the device, and then it dispenses and records that. So these data sets are unique in a way that we know your disease state, age, gender, race, geolocation, you know, socioeconomic status. There's a variety of different health factors that contribute to those outcomes. So what we catalog is the exact medications or your cocktails of medications, those variables, with your blood work. So we know any deviations based upon your actual regimen, and then correlate that with the outcomes, which is hospitalizations, ER visits, you know, and then you have a closed loop system. So now you can iterate based upon those data sets. And in the future, what we're developing is, because we have the unique data sets with the face, you now have a series of disease progression, regression, or stabilization.
Yeah.
And you know predictively which cocktails can service which populations the best. And right now, providers treat based upon empiric therapy. So that's based upon their clinical backgrounds and where they went to school. So imagine in the future, if we could give people medications based upon what works the best versus using empiric treatment, that would be substantial.
And that's going into that whole personalized medicine kind of thing as well. You can actually really adjust dosages and things based on what the data is coming out from the device.
Yeah, it'd be very exciting for millions of people and have a substantial impact.
Yeah. And one thing I was just wondering, if you had multiple people in a house, can one device recognize which person it is and give those? Sorry.
Great question. So the device right now is intended for single use. Okay. In the future, could there be a family unit? So if you have a child that's only taking one medication and then the adults are taking something different? Yes. But at this point, we're just focusing on one person, one device.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And then I just think that, because a lot of people listening are pharma, I do think that we really have to stress the fact that, you know, clinical trials would be an amazing use case for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, using a device such as this, nobody can question the data integrity any longer. So exactly. If you think about it, you know, from a phase 1 through phase 4, and then even like a post-surveillance marketing study, you know, right now it's really patient dependent. As you're dependent on patients, you know, that data is only as good as what is reported. And, you know, unless you have somebody physically there witnessing dose by dose what's going on, it's cost prohibitive. So this is a low cost methodology to ensure the data sets are accurate. For the first time ever.
Have you worked with it? You haven't worked with any pharma or biotech yet?
Not at this point. We are open to relationships. Our goal is to impact as many folks as possible. And I believe that with the Hydro device, we can actually accelerate drug discovery and delivery because you may not need to recruit as many patients because your data is much, much stronger than what it would be. And then you can also engage those folks because you know day by day what's exactly happening.
Yeah. And do you have any stories from your customers who are using the device of how it's changed, you know, their day to day?
We have we filmed a number of different patients ranging from stroke to dementia to, you know, terminal cancer, HIV. We did a study at Stanford. It was actually pretty interesting because it was an antiretroviral study.
Yeah.
And most of those folks, if you don't take your medications according to a 95% plus threshold, then, you know, those drugs, you have a subtherapeutic impact on, you know, the PKPD bloodstream concentrations. But what we found is a subtherapeutic dosage, about 85%, you're able to have non-detectable viral loads. And a secondary endpoint, which was even fascinating to us, is that what you had is some of the folks were on diabetes medications, and we saw actual lowering of their A1C, so their blood sugar levels. So what that means is this at-risk population was taking subtherapeutic dosages of their medications before. So they could have been at 40 or 50%. And then that creates, you know, a disaster for a lot of those medications because you have resistance.
Wow. And have you thought about, and it's just something I often think about, is smart homes, because, you know, I've talked about this before, but one of my friends she's an architect, and she makes homes that have AI in the bathroom mirrors that detect micro changes in the face and body that are diagnostic, and toilets that do urine and feces analyses. But it seems like it's one of those things that you'd just want in your kitchen, you know, as part of the home.
Yeah. So we designed the Hydro device really so it could go within the kitchen. So it's a color scheme that has touchscreen or face ID, and it's so it can go in your kitchen or your bathroom, but it also has Bluetooth technology. So to your point, you know, if you want to look at some of those secondary endpoints, such as weight, such as blood pressure, if you're looking at HRV, heart rate variability, and you want that information, this controls the unique data sets of medication dose by dose and any of those behaviors that are accompanying with that. In addition, once you connect that with some of those other diagnostics, it becomes a very, very powerful data set.
And who are your main customers? Is it individuals who are just buying it for themselves, or is it hospital outpatient clinics or anything like that? Who would your main customers be at the moment?
Yeah, so currently it's health plans. So Medicare Advantage health plans, they are managing their chronic care disease patients. Yeah. So 1% of their patients cost around 40% of all medical spent, which is very, very significant.
Yes.
In addition to that, we're also partnering with veteran home health agencies that service the folks that have provided, you know, us with the independence and freedom that we have today.
Yeah. And if someone wanted to buy it on their own, could they do that as well?
Not currently. We're not direct to consumer. This is solely through your health plan or if you're a veteran.
And is it only in the US at the moment?
Correct. Yes, it's only in the US. We are open to partnerships in Europe and abroad.
Okay, that's really good. And so what's next for Haido? Where do you plan to go after this?
Yeah, so right now we're pretty excited. We have a couple of, you know, pending deals with some very, very large health plans and veteran home health agencies. So we're excited to grow. Also looking at partnerships abroad. So if there are folks out in the UK or Europe that want to utilize this, or if it could be a good fit for National Health Services, it would be open to some of those relationships.
Yeah, it's frustrating sometimes because I meet people on my podcast that are doing amazing things, and then you can't get them in other countries outside the US, which is frustrating. But hopefully you'll have world domination soon.
Well, the most important thing is to impact as many patient lives as possible. So we are a mission-driven company, and that's our intention.
Yeah. Have you got a particular number of patients you'd like to impact?
I believe that we can impact, you know, 1% of the chronic care disease patients that need this the most. So if you look at 1% of the world's population, that's our intent.
That's really cool. Fantastic. Well, if there's any pharma that want to get in touch with Charles and his team, you can go to HidoHealth, HIDOHALTH.com. Thank you so much for your time today. Really, really interesting. And I think that this device has so much potential to really, you know, improve patient outcomes, but also reduce healthcare costs dramatically.
So, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.